Hi, everybody, and welcome. My name is Ben Piccini. Welcome to Radical Civility, a project of Public Square Magazine. I've been remiss. I've been busy between Christmas and everything else that's been going on. I've been a little bit too busy to prep an episode, and I sat down tonight and realized I should get this done. There's something that's been on my mind, and I'm going to show you what that is here in just a second. Let's see. So this is a graph that a friend of mine sent to me, and it's trust and for those of you who are watching on, or I should say, those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, those of you who are listening on the podcast, it's a graph that shows the trust and confidence in U.S. institutions from 2018 to 2021. That's a three-year gap, and while Congress didn't move much, that's because it was already in the toilet in terms of trust in the institution. It went from 6% to 5%. That is to say that nobody trusts Congress. The news media went from 16 to 10%. Supreme Court went from 27 to 18. The presidency from 28 to 19. The law enforcement from 50 to 33. And the military from 70 to 45. That is mildly terrifying to me. And I don't think that that's the only one. So there is an article out by David Brooks. He's a writer at the New York Times. And he wrote an article called America is Falling Apart at the Seams. And it's pretty simple. His belief is that America is falling apart at the seams. And he talks about crime rates. And he talks about the statistics. It says, I'll just start out with the first couple of paragraphs to give you a sense. And the whole piece is about like this. In June, a statistic floated across my desk that startled me. In 2020, the number of miles Americans drove fell 13% because of the pandemic, but the number of traffic deaths rose 7%. I couldn't figure it out. Why would Americans be driving so much more recklessly during the pandemic? But then in the first half of 2021, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, motor vehicle deaths were up 18.4%, even over 2020. Contributing factors, according to the agency, included driving under the influence, speeding, and failure to wear a seatbelt. Why are so many Americans driving irresponsibly? While gloomy numbers like these were rattling around in my brain, a Substack article from Matthew Iglesias hit my inbox this week. It was titled, All Kinds of Bad Behaviors on the Rise. Not only is reckless driving on the rise, Iglesias pointed out, but the number of altercations on airplanes has exploded, the murder rate is surging in cities, drug overdoses are increasing, Americans are drinking more, nurses say patients are getting more abusive, and so on. I will just mention one other thing, and that is that teachers are facing a rising tide of disruptive behavior, both major and minor. This is chilling stuff. This is scary, and it's the kind of thing that I've been worried about for a while. I've had a deep sense of old man foreboding that something bad was coming, and I think that this is part of it. I started this podcast because I felt like the winds were blowing and that somebody needed to stand up and say some good things, and I hope that that's what we're doing. I do want to be clear that there are some bad things out there. I don't think it's quite time to abandon all hope yet. And I think that this new year, I've had a lot of thoughts about where the world is heading and what we can do. In the last couple of weeks, Ukraine is increasingly on edge with a potential Russian invasion. About a week and a half ago, Prince Andrew is officially no longer going to be referred to as His Royal Highness because of his dealings with Jeffrey Epstein. The world is just in a hard place, and there aren't many heroes, and things are dark. And yet I saw something with all of that negativity that I feel like is probably worth bringing up. In my family, we have decided that if our kids get in trouble, they have to own it, feel it, and fix it. I stole this from a friend of mine who implemented it at a school I worked at. It's pretty simple. You have to own what you've done wrong, show that you can feel what you've done wrong, and then you have to fix it, remunerate in some way, or make recompense, right? Not just I'm sorry, but also, and I'm sorry enough to make your bed for you tomorrow, or play with you with the favorite toys that you have, or let you borrow my favorite toy. Well, tonight I disciplined one of my children lightly. I mean, this is a small thing, and I said, all right, you got to fix it, and they said, okay, and then the other child said, no, it's okay, you don't have to. I said, oh, that is so nice. You don't have to fix it. That is so forgiving and so kind. And then both children looked at me and said, no, Daddy, we've made a deal. We never have to fix it with each other. because we know we're going to make mistakes. And that way, if we all just agree that we never have to fix it, then we can just get back to playing a lot faster. My children have figured out something that I think is really cool and important. You know, it's funny, as an education teacher, one of the things that we talk about is behaviorism. Behaviorism is the idea that if you, it's most famous for, I shouldn't say that it's, I'm not going to define it here, but most people know it as carrots and sticks, that if you punish bad behavior and you reward good behavior, you'll get a lot more good behavior. And so I'm talking to my kids and I'm thinking about this behaviorism, what I've done to them, right? I've instituted a clear set of routines for when they misbehave, and that is that they have to fix it with each other and potentially with me. And they on their own have come up with this idea of it is optimal for us as children to lower the price of fixing things as low as humanly possible. That forgiveness needs to be easy and quick, and that forgiveness needs to be fast and easy, and we need to not stand in the way, because as a transaction, it's going to be my turn sometime next, and I want it to be really easy for me to get back to play, and we've all agreed on this, and they're enjoying it. If only nations had learned the same thing, and I'm not really getting about this. Maybe if people had learned the same thing. By the way, this is not the only answer that we need to these problems, and by the way, sometimes forgiveness is forgiveness of really grave matters that don't apply to kids. Sometimes forgiveness is really deep and hard because it's still ongoing injustice. So I'm not trying to make light of any of those things. But the vast majority of injustices that happen on a daily basis, certainly all of the ones that happen to me, are minor and can be easily forgiven. And given the weight of some real injustices that are happening, I don't know that I really need to hold any grudges against my injustices. Because as it turns out, I've had a really, really good life. So I think that in my children's story, maybe there's a little tiny bit of an answer. Part of the answer is that kids figure things out naturally on their own. By the way, part of what I love about this, a lot of my teacher students, my student teachers, I guess I should say, a lot of them say, well, behaviorism is not a good way to go. And I offer as evidence the movie Klaus. I love the movie Klaus, Klaus, K-L-A-U-S, Klaus. And it's a Netflix original, and it's a brilliant movie. And basically, it's the story of how carrots and sticks work. And if you just reward kids for doing the right thing, all of a sudden you can transform a whole town. And it's beautiful. And it's because he starts to bribe kids for his own selfish reasons, and then they start wanting to do the right thing because of his little bribes. I don't think it's that simple, but I do think that my kids have hit on something really important. And that is that forgiveness is part of what is missing. I'm reminded of a talk by President Gordon B. Hinckley a few years ago, where he talks about the story of a young teenager who just was with some friends and thought it would be funny to do something really stupid. So they bought a frozen turkey, were on the freeway, and then threw it out the back of their car while somebody was driving behind them. She crashed, had to have multiple surgeries on her face. Did incredible damage, and the teen involved was just beside himself, and she decided to forgive him, and they embraced in the courtroom, if I remember correctly. I don't think that forgiveness is the only answer, but I think it is part of the answer. And maybe forgiveness is part of the answer because it allows us to get to the other parts. Or maybe because if our heart is in a place where we can forgive, then maybe some other things are also right, where we are listening to each other, we are hearing each other, we are caring about each other. I'm always consistently afraid that people think that civility is just about a bunch of rules. It's not. Civility is about caring about the other person enough to hear them and to see them as valuable and worthwhile. So that's my long meandering story for today. The world is hard and difficult. And at the same time, things are dark. But I think my children have hit on something that is worth thinking about. We have a lot of exciting things coming in the next few months. I've already got a bunch of episodes lined up. Some of them are beginning. We're already interviewing some folks, and we're going to get those produced. Thanks to my producer, Nick, for always being amazing. Our hope is to make the world a little bit better, to make the world a little bit more light and bright. To engage hard issues well. And that is not easy. And that means I'm going to make mistakes. I'm more scared today, I think, than I've ever been, that I'm going to say something idiotic and stupid. So let me just tell you, I am going to say something idiotic and stupid, but I am trying. And I know that that's maybe not enough, but it's the best I can offer. And I think if we could have a world where more people were trying their best, that would be a good thing. So thank you for being on this crazy journey with me and listening. I don't know why you all do it. Actually, a dear friend of mine just told me that they gave some comments on YouTube thanking me for an episode, and I had no idea they were listening, and it was actually quite touching. I recognize that most of you are just my friends, and I'm okay with that. But thank you to all of you who are still here and are listening, and thank you to my Public Square friends who have let me sign on to this with them, with their name and their brand, which I know that they take very seriously, and so do I, and know that we're going to keep trying the very best that we can. So with that, God bless. Go out and do some good in the world. Make the world a better place and keep trying your best. I need to write down my tagline at the end because I've forgotten it. The opinions expressed are only the opinions of me and not even me, because I hope that in the future I will be smarter and wiser or something like that. I don't even remember. God bless everyone. Talk to you later. Go do some good in the world. Bye.